You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Welcome to my house. All Marine Radio broadcasting. Welcome.
Welcome to my house. Morning comes and you know that you wanna stay.
Talk about a great day, man. I had a day yesterday like you can't even imagine. Yeah, like good shit just kept happening to me all day. Almost said the F word right there, but I didn't. Yeah, you know what we is. Yeah, let me just tell you, man, the whole post-traumatic winning thing is the best. I got emails from people. Hey. I'll give you a little sample of it, okay? So just imagine you're schlepping through your day, right? And all of a sudden, this bombs in. Hold on, let me see if I can... Now I have to find it. Now I put the pressure on myself. Yeah, so yesterday at 11:29 a.m. Pacific time, I'm doing what I do after the show, which is putting stuff on the internet, which I hate. Yeah, it's the worst part of the whole show. It's getting after the internet. It's like going into the coal mine for me. Anyway, the email is entitled All Marine Radio. Good afternoon, sir. This email is to thank you for introducing All Marine Radio to MCAS, Marine Corps Air Station, New River. The timing of that event couldn't have been more perfect! Hearing all those stories were very hard, seeing how myself and others could relate. I began to cringe listening to certain topics, but hearing your stories, a highly respected leader, brought everything into perspective for me. However, this experience will definitely be life-changing for me. This program is what the Marine Corps is in need of, so I ask that you, Mr. McNamara, and that Lance Corporal Kiker, continue to keep things raw and have those events more often. Please continue to save and change lives. Yeah. Right? So I'm like schlepping along, and then that hits my inbox. And I always say, like, I'm the coolest motherfucker around, right? And you could be as cool as me. I keep telling people that, man. You could be as cool as me. And then that kept happening. So then what I did was I always try to share that, right? So with the Lance Corporal. So and he's going to come on And he's going to, I'm going to do kind of the same interview I did with Sergeant Doe with him. And honestly, it'll blow your mind, the trauma that some people live with. I sent that to him. And he wrote back, "That's awesome." And I texted back after he read the email, "You changed his life." And he says, "It's crazy how your story helps." And I said, "It is. It's the best feeling in the world. Easing someone's pain and showing them a path to a greater life." And then he texted back, "I truly feel honored." And so then my day gets even better. And then I had to talk to Rudy and Montana Man. So that screws my life up, right? But I pulled it out of the shitter once again. No, I'm just kidding. No, talking to them was awesome. And I had three other different people contact me yesterday for different reasons. And then I contacted Tim Lynch. You heard us talking about it yesterday. He got back from this retreat thing he went on, right? Kind of, you know, you see him all the time, adventure retreats. And I've got to reach out to Joey, who does Warrior Passion. And Joey Perazzo. So anyway, he's an F-18 guy. But I've got to tell him that, man, when you do stuff, you got to let me come down and do post-traumatic winning. Because that's what Tim Lynch was all fired up about. He said, "Hey, I want you to contact this woman. I told her, I sent her some stuff. You've got to come." So I did. Her name's Nora. And they're going to be doing these things in all 50 states. And I said, "Nora, you got to let me help you." I said, "Let me tell you what I do. But when I get done with them, they've got a mission for life. And this thing that they find so tough to deal with is going to be a source of great joy for them in the future." And she was like, "All right, who are you?" Because that's exactly what we need, because we can reconnect them, we can get them different places, and hopefully kind of change their mindset a little bit. Now, know this, Nora has lost, she's been pregnant three times and lost babies all three times. This for her is her post-traumatic winning event. Easing somebody else's pain, right, eases her pain and transforms her life. Right. And so I told her that. And then she's like, who the fuck are you? Who the fuck are you? Leave me alone. And I said, "No." I said, "I've got the answer for you, man." So she's going to go to the Air Force Academy with me in October and see post-traumatic winning. So pretty cool stuff. So yesterday, pretty cool day. Now, I'll also tell you this, that thanks to the wire brushing I gave everybody that has been reporting shithole weather, they've all reported early today. That's right. Vacaville, Montana, and Saskatchewan. So just goes to show you that sometimes a little bit of negative reinforcement goes a long way. Goes a long way. And then on top of it, late last night, I got paid a bunch of money by somebody who hadn't paid me for doing post-traumatic winning, which made me really happy. Yeah. So I woke up at 3 in the morning. I don't know. Like, I never slept through the night. And then thought occurred to me, hey, maybe they paid you. And I looked, and cha-ching. I got paid. Eddie Money just died. Eddie Money, 70 years old. He died last Friday. Right? Two tickets to paradise? Doesn't say. The family of rock star Eddie Money says he has died at the age of 70. He died on Friday. There's no other mention of the cause of his death. So there you have it. So yeah, I had a great day. Now, let me just tell you, what's going to happen today. The chef is in the hospital. And he's dealing with some health issues. And I talked to him. He sounded okay. So I'll check in with him again today. But pinch hitting for the chef today are two foodies. And that is Montana Man and Rudy, the F-18 guy, right? So they are both foodies, right? Now, they're not the chef. I'm going to just warn you that. But they do, we recorded it yesterday, they do a capable job, and they both love to cook. Actually, Montana Man, he's semi-professional cook, yeah, growing up and going through college. And then Rudy's just a foodie. He's got a little bit of the food industry in his family. But he's a bit of a cook and loves to talk about it and all the rest of that stuff. So they will join the program this morning on a Friday. And then let's see, next week, Monday evening, I fly back to Quantico and on the red eye. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm in Quantico at the Modern Marine Expo and doing post-traumatic wing on Wednesday and Thursday. So that'll be exciting. So looking forward to that. Always interesting to get out and about and get to Northern Virginia. And at the same time as the Modern Marine Expo is going on, the USMC General Officer Symposium will be going on. So there'll be people that I know will be there, which is always exciting. So, and always fun. Get to see your friends and find out what's going on. they've got big shoes to fill, Mac. They better bring it. I told them, man, when you're filling in, you know, it's funny because I think Bob Nielsen was the one that said this to me. He said, you know, when you first started bringing the chef on, I thought, what the hell is he doing? He said, now it's one of my favorite segments of the week. He said, I can't wait to hear the chef and try the stuff that he talks about. I said, now, you know, Kim is he's an awesome guy. He's one of the coolest guys I've ever met. And he had one of the coolest restaurants I've ever been in. But he's an upbeat, positive, happy, fun guy to be around. And we hit it off immediately when we met. And he and I, as often as I've done my radio show every Friday, he has come on to talk about whatever. But as I said, he sounded good the other day. And, let me tell you, the chef is living on, you know, he's living on somebody else's time because he's got a defibrillator. Right. Yeah. He's got a pacemaker. Right, he's been shocked back into the world a couple times, and but he has a good time, and that's pretty important. So the two amateur foodies will join us today, and so we'll see what you think of that. What else is going on? Yeah, I'll tell you what. So my conversation with Nora, who ran the program, I ultimately will lead to post-traumatic winning, getting involved in that program, I believe, unless I'm sorely mistaken, which I don't believe I am. And so my own feeling is that post-traumatic winning is about to blow up, and I've been waiting for this. And let me tell you the story. And I mentioned this yesterday, but I was talking to the editor and publisher of the Gazette. And I've done an interview with him on the interview that he did with General Mattis and Bing West on the book Call Sign Chaos. And it's really interesting. Things I didn't know about Chris Woodbridge. Chris Woodbridge was a MARSENT planner. Okay, so Central Command, there's a Marine component to that, right? Which is called MARSENT. Chris Woodbridge was a planner for them. When the planning was taking place for Operation Iraqi Freedom. Okay? Yeah. So he had a bird's eye seat to Donnie Rumsfeld ripping up the war plan and writing his own. Now, he wasn't in the inner sanctum of it. He was just, you know, one of the guys working on the staff. And so, pretty interesting little discussion about what he does that nobody else, and the reason why, I'll put the link up, and you'll hear the interview next week. But if you want to hear his interview with General Mattis and Bing West, it's on the Marine Corps Association website. Now, one of the things he says that he likes about the interview is this, that most of the people are interviewing General Mattis and taking advantage of the media opportunity to talk to him. Most of the people that are doing that simply as a ruse to see if they can get him to say anything about Donald Trump or anything else that will be newsworthy, right? In terms of clickbait. Now, he's nobody's fool, so nobody's been successful in getting him to do that. What Woody does, is he said, we actually talked about the book. He said, which I'm pretty proud of. And I will tease this about the interview. One of the things Woody says is one of the emerging themes throughout the course of the book. The first part of the book is about tactical leadership. Then, and that is where you're physically located with the unit as a commander. Then it's his time as the second phase is his time as, I believe, the division commander of the 1st Marine Division. So that is, you know, you now have a greater responsibility for policy and for feedback on policy. And the emerging theme is when the strategy of what we're doing doesn't align with what's going on the ground, when there is that disconnect. And so you've heard it discussed, when phase four isn't clearly articulated, right? When phase four isn't clearly articulated, then what happens? And that becomes an emerging theme throughout as the book moves from his tactical, which phase one of the, part one of the book is he at the tactical level. Phase two is he as the division commander, and then phase three is his at, or part three is he at CENTCOM, where absolutely is the linkage between, you know, strategy and what happens on the ground. And his increasing frustration with the lack of a vision and a concerted effort to get to that vision. So so it's an interesting interview for a couple of different reasons. The all right. It is Friday. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. Good morning to you on Friday. Oh shit, it's Friday the 13th. For all of you who believe in that shit, be careful. And this is dedicated to all you people out there that are going to struggle through Friday the 13th, praying that something bad doesn't happen to you. I hope you make it through today unscathed. I hope that whoever's up there governing the events of the day is kind to you, and good luck.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that low paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, Young Soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda anytime you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, CFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Brain Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather. What the hell? Or not. So I have a page that loads all the cities that, right? You refresh that, and then you get all the temperatures. And for some reason, it's not working. It's not working today. Well, it's just... So we're going to listen to Junior Walker. What the hell, man? What's up with that? All of a sudden, all my cities, like, don't work? And somebody thinks that that's going to work for me? Like, not only no, but fuck no. Alright, so now... Now I'm pissed. I'm being denied the weather that I always have fun with every day. So I'll fire up my laptop, which is sitting here by my side. I bought another table for my office last night, as a matter of fact. So I'm going to find out if it's me or if it's them. It's them. It ain't me. All right, same result on different computer. Okay, so they're having issues there today. Okay, so now we'll just go straight to shithole weather. That's right. That's right. So today, up in 20 miles southeast of Big Timber, Montana, where Montana Man lives, who you'll hear from in about 30 minutes, fair skies. Yeah, no kidding. Now, we all know what fair is. It means there's kind of clouds, but it's fair. Normally given at night, but he's given it during the day. 58 degrees, winds variable out of the west-southwest, which means it's a little bit south, right? It means a little bit west from southwest. So southwest would be what, 7 on the clock, around 7, between 7 and 8, a little bit more towards west. Okay, so there you have it, west-southwest, at around 4 miles an hour. Yeah, pretty thorough for Montana Man. He's making progress, so that's good. The, let's see, shithole weather from Vacaville. Hold on, stand by. Hey, today in the beautiful town of Vacaville, California, currently 63 degrees, clear, winds are calm, expecting a high today of 102. I'll tell you what, that's pretty impressive. 63 to 102? That's a pretty decent swing. All right. It's too bad, but yeah, that's a pretty decent swing in terms of temperatures. That's 29 palms, but 29 palms won't get that cool in the evening. In Saskatchewan, Churchbridge to be exact, which is 211 miles north of Minot, sunny, 50 degrees, winds are out of the northwest at 7 miles an hour, looking for an afternoon high of 59 degrees in Churchbridge. So, again, if you want your weather given out during the shithole weather update, feel free to go ahead and send it to me. You just have to be punctual with it. Currently, 69 degrees in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area, looking for a high of 86, which I'm not happy about, but you know what? That's all right. The evenings have cooled off, which is really what I care about. All right, so that is a look at your weather. When we come back, you are going to hear from the news. There's some interesting stuff in the news today, so we'll take a look at that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. On a Friday, the stand-ins for the chef are going to be here. And, yeah, Montana man, who's actually a legit food guy. And, yeah, in spite of all his shit-talking, he's actually a legit food guy. And then Rudy. Rudy's an amateur food guy, but he's a foodie. More of that coming up next right here on your home for All Marine Radio, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back. When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk in through a cold, bitter ocean, feel the steam.
Peyton Davis. Little post-traumatic winner herself. The, all right, let's get to the news. A veteran of a sailor from World War II who was a member of the crew of the USS Arizona passed away. Lauren Brunner, whose ashes will be interred in the USS Arizona. Which more veterans are doing. Anyway, he passed away. There's only three remaining survivors from the USS Arizona. Yeah, how about that? Pretty amazing that, you know, we've gotten that far away from World War II. So, 1945, 55 years and 20. So that's 75 years from the end of World War II. So, if you were 20 when you joined, you'd be 95 years old. So only the youngest, you know, the youngest people who probably got in late in the war, still alive. Unless you're 110. Like I just saw news from somebody who's 110 who's spending his birthday at the World War II National Museum down in Nolens. So, yeah. Anyway, but sign of the times. Only three remaining survivors of the attack on the USS Arizona. On December 7th, 1941. That in the news, and another next story in Stars and Stripes, report U.S. plans to send 150 troops, which is essentially a company, an infantry company, but it probably won't be an infantry company. It'll probably be operators and this and that and the other thing. The U.S. military is planning to deploy 150 troops to northeastern Syria to join ground patrols with Turkish forces, possibly marking a slight increase in the number of American forces in the country, the New York Times reported. So that is in the news. Let's see. The decision, while not finalized, appears to be at odds with the order from President Donald Trump made in December that called for a gradual withdrawal of troops from Syria. No, it's not at odds, right? Gradual. Right, that's why I use the term gradual. There will be a certainly slowly based, conditions oriented, you know, withdrawal. That's what he meant to say. Come on. No, you're right. The looming deployment comes amid efforts to improve relations with Turkey, which has long complained about U.S. support of Kurdish fighters that Ankara considers terrorists. The New York Times, citing unnamed U.S. officials, said the final approval for the new deployment depends on the success of the initial joint ground patrols that are currently underway. So again, that part of northeastern Syria that concerns Turkey that they've talked about invading Syria about, yeah, if you want to see something bad happen, Turkey, go ahead and escalate that which you're already doing. U.S. Naval Institute news, headline, how to seize islands, set up a forward refueling point, Marine Corps recipes for expeditionary operations. The U.S. Marine Corps has been refining a pair of related concepts, expeditionary advanced base operations, EABO for short, and the overarching littoral operations in a contested environment for the past couple of years. With the Navy now all in on its related distributed maritime operations concept, and with a new commandant of the Marine Corps focused on acquisition and training of support of EABO and LOCE, yeah, get used to those, U.S. Indo-PACOM Command is investing in exercises this year that test out the Naval Force's ability to distribute its people across large swaths of sea and land, and its ability to bring the firepower, logistics and sustainment, and sea control needed to be successful despite the challenges of operating as small units far from the conveniences of a consolidated strike group or a land-based operation ashore. The 31st MEU and WASP Amphibious Group, ARG, last month demonstrated two long-range expeditionary capabilities that provide a glimpse into how future warfighting could be conducted in littoral areas such as the South China Sea or the Baltic Sea. There you go. So, pretty interesting reading, right? And again, if you go back in Marine Corps history, the first documents of amphibious warfare were the seizure of advanced bases. So, eerily familiar. Let's see. Next headline. Taiwan wants updated submarine force. A modern submarine force to deter China's ambitions to take over Taiwan tops the island's unmet defense needs, its first civilian defense minister told Washington, D.C., an audience in Washington, D.C., yesterday, actually on Wednesday. We are far behind in the area, said Michael Tsai during an appearance at the Hudson Institute. After a proposed deal negotiated under President George W. Bush to have Taiwan buy diesel-powered subs fell apart, he said Taipei's only recourse is to build submarines domestically, but we need technical support from the United States, Japan, and other countries to do that. The technical support includes torpedo systems, combat integration, said Seth Crosby, a naval affairs analyst at Hudson. Even with technical support and Taiwan's strong financial underpinning, Tsai estimates it would take 5 to 7 years to deliver the first submarines. We are still seeing if we can purchase used submarines for Taiwan, he said. So, again, more news relative to China. Marine Corps Times story, the only one I would mention to you is actually an Associated Press story carried by Marine Corps Times or Military Times. Taliban wanted a deal with the U.S., but negotiators, leadership at odds even before the Camp David meeting was called off. Story's dateline is Islamabad. Afghanistan's Taliban leaders agree they want to deal with the United States, but some were in more of a hurry than others. According to Taliban officials familiar with the negotiations, the Shura opposed the trip to Camp David and chastised the negotiators who were eager to attend. The Taliban have been holding talks with the U.S. for over a year in Doha, the capital of Qatar, where the Islamic militant movement maintains a political office under the banner of the Islamic Emirates of Afghanistan. the Taliban accepted an invitation to Camp David, only to delay demanding the deal be announced first by Qatar. They also wanted a signing ceremony witnessed by the foreign ministers of several countries, including Pakistan, Russia, and China. The delay followed the Shura's rejection and admonishment of its negotiators. This wasn't the first agreement between the negotiators and the Shura. So the Shura, right, is an Islamic thing. It is a council. Okay? So the negotiators, obviously the forward presence of the Shura, they negotiate and bring things back. Several months earlier, the Shura opposed an offer by Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar, the chief negotiator and co-founder of the Taliban, to give the Americans 14 months to withdraw their roughly 14,000 troops from Afghanistan. The Shura let Baradar know it wasn't on board with the timeline and that he could not make decisions independent of the Shura. Still, several Taliban officials familiar with both the negotiating team and the Shura said that while opinions differed, the Taliban leadership debated every article of the agreement, and the negotiating team either got the Shura to agree or bowed to its decision. Quote, "What's striking about how the Taliban mobilized at the highest levels to support the negotiations with the U.S., said Michael Kugelman, deputy director of the Asia program at the Washington-based think tank, the Wilson Center. Quote, "Senior Taliban officials didn't only endorse the talks, they helped lead them. This suggests that Washington would have trouble exploiting fractures within the Taliban in an effort to strengthen its hand in negotiations," he said. "There may be divisions within the Taliban, but they presented a relatively common front in the negotiating process. That's more than one can say for the Afghan government or even the Trump administration." So, interesting story about kind of a little bit about behind the scenes of the negotiation with the Taliban. There's a poll out, how Americans are split over whether the Afghanistan war was a mistake. Now, I think that most Americans will tell you the Afghan war initially wasn't a mistake. A Gallup poll published on September 11th found that 52% of Americans believe the war in Afghanistan was not a mistake, in contrast to 43% who responded that it was. The recent poll indicated the divide cuts across party lines, according to the poll. 25% of Republicans said sending troops to Afghanistan was a mistake. I think that's like the poll isn't, the question's a crappy question, right? Right? The question should be, was the United States' initial response in Afghanistan appropriate or inappropriate? Yes or no? Did you agree or disagree? And the answer to that is, in spite of Tommy Franks fucking it up, I agree with the initial, you know, move to Afghanistan. The subsequent expansion of the war in Afghanistan, how do you feel about that? That would be like 100% would say, yeah, that was stupid. Because it was. Tommy Franks. I had somebody tell me recently that, well, I won't tell you exactly what they said. It certainly wasn't very complimentary to General Franks' intellectual capacity. Right? Yeah, said he wasn't the guy. Right? Good soldier, outstanding soldier, thinker, not so much. And let me tell you, that is the danger that, you know, the way you promote general officers. What do you want from your general officers? And ideally, you would get intellect, moral courage and their experience. That's what you should get. But you could, you know, part of becoming a general officer is, you know, you go along with the program. The iconoclasts tend not to get there. And as the herd gets thinned, there's a danger that you have bobbleheads, right? That you have bobbleheads, and that's no bueno. All right, top five stories in Early Bird. One, U.S. preparing to deploy 150 troops to Syria. You've heard about that. Number two, lawmakers push U.S. Air Force Secretary nominee on the border wall and the use of Trump properties. A little bit of grandstanding. All right. But, I mean, honestly, if you're going to stop in Scotland, does it, you know, hey, let's stay at the Trump resort. Like, I'm not going to say that there's something wrong in the Air Force if that's where you wind up staying. Now, there was an article out today that said only 6% of the crews that stopped there, right, stayed at the Trump resort. But honestly, like 6%? Get every one of those people, get every one of the leaders of those flights that stopped and stayed there and put something officially in their record. If that's where your military judgment takes you, then you probably shouldn't be in charge of shit, right? That's honestly, that's amazing. It's amazing to think that yeah, we're going to stop here and what the, you know, fuck it, we'll just stay at his resort. Are you shitting me? Barbara Barrett, a former ambassador to Finland with the former aerospace corporate and the former chairwoman of the Aerospace Corporation, attempted to reassure lawmakers who voiced concerns about the Trump administration's transfer of funding for military construction projects to the U.S.-Mexico border wall, as well as an incident involving Air Force personnel staying at the president's Turnberry Resort in Scotland. But she also made it clear during her September 12th hearing in front of the Senate Armed Service Committee that she would not publicly go against the president's policies. This week, the Air Force ordered Air Mobility Command to review its guidance on how lodging and accommodations are selected during international travel after a C-17 crew spent time at Turnberry in March. In an exchange with Senator Richard Blumenthal, former Marine, who claimed he fought in Vietnam, and who never actually set foot in the country, Barrett agreed to provide a complete account of Air Force expenditures at Trump-based property. However, she stopped short of saying the taxpayer funds should be prohibited from going towards Trump-owned businesses like Turnberry. Quote, "It seems that we should have generic rules and regulations that look at the best value and best acquisition practices, and those rules should be enforced equally." So, the next sector of the Air Force, doing a little dancing as a senator, doing a little grandstanding. And, should crews be staying there? No. Should the Air Force have a little bit of oversight over that? Yes. I mean, kind of stupid, to be honest with you. Army Secretary nominee talks priorities, more artillery troops, missiles that will change the geometry of Southeast Asia. That's interesting. So the Army needs a new secretary after Mark Esper became Secretary of Defense. So let me get to the part of missiles. The Army's acting secretary is Ryan McCarthy. Right? So rehabilitating the Army's long-range precision fires and missile defenses is key to circumventing China's area denial weapons. During his Senate hearing, the permanent Army Secretary position. For that position, McCarthy also explained that the service is looking to add more artillery soldiers to the force in an effort to fill out its fires units. I'm just trying to get to the part. The replacement for the Army Tactical Missile System can now have ranges in the upwards of 600 kilometers, he said. Hypersonic glide body missiles can also potentially shift regional dynamics, he added. Within this suite, there are an array of capabilities that will change the geometry within Southeast Asia, McCarthy said. And if we can get the appropriate partnerships, expeditionary basing rights, Philippines, with partners within the region, Vietnam, Malaysia, we can change the geometry and basically reverse anti-access area denial capabilities that have been invested by near-peer competitors. That's all code. That's all code for China. Yeah. That's all code for China. Hold on, Ohio man's weighing in. I read this morning that U.S. Air Force crews actually started stopping there in 2015 during the Obama administration. Well, that'll be interesting, eh? Again, in my opinion, it's just as absurd then as it is now. But it's always interesting when these things get traced to the Obama administration. Right, so when you read family separations, Trump, that started under the Obama administration. What? No, that can't be. Barack Obama? The most compassionate, the greatest president the country's ever known? Yes, he did that. Damn it. I hate when that shit happens. Right? So, yeah, there you go. Next story, number four, White House releases $250 million in Ukrainian military aid. So there's been a spate of stories about American military aid around the world this week. Interesting. Taiwan, right? Taiwan even in the mix. The White House has relinquished its hold on $250 million in military aid to the Ukraine after weeks of bipartisan pressure from lawmakers who said the funding was needed to deter Russia. Republicans and Democratic members of the Senate Appropriations Committee said Thursday the administration had relented late Wednesday. Lindsey Graham gets quoted in the article. It was the White House Office of Management and Budget that lifted the hold, which applied to both $250 million in the Pentagon's Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative and $141.5 million in foreign military financing being prepared separately by the State Department. So, $400 million. So what are they going to buy? That's what I want. That's what I'm trying to get to in the article. Speaking at a Defense Writers Group event Thursday, R. Clark Cooper, Assistant Secretary of State for Political Military Affairs, announced that Congress was notified late Wednesday that the $141 million in funding was available to the Ukraine. That money covers sniper rifles, grenade launchers, and other items. And that was hardly satisfying. That's a lot of... $400 million will buy a lot of that shit. Okay, I'm not a procurement specialist, but even dumbasses like me know that. Number five, U.S. might still sanction Turkey for buying the S-400 from Russia. Well, I mean, we stopped. They're not going to get the F-35. They've been booted out of that program, quite rightly. All right, so what's next? All right. The United States is considering... levying sanctions on Turkey for buying the S-400 from the Russians. Ooh, the previous mentioned, R. Clark Cooper, said the new potential measures would supplement the Trump administration's decision to kick Turkey out of the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter program. Quote, they are not out of the woods on imposition of sanctions. That is still at play, Cooper said at the same Defense Writers Group breakfast that he was previously quoted in, talking about aid to the Ukraine. Quote, what is a constant point of edification for me with all of our partners is some of our sanctioned regimes, including CAATSA, I don't even know what the hell that is, are statutory. We are obligated to address these, Cooper said. Turkey is an interesting case because we have a number of partners where we have growing relationships with who are closely watching how Turkey is managed and how they may either seek or choose not to seek acquisitions from a near peer adversary. Whoa. What that means is you have other nations that are watching how we treat Turkey, and if we turn a blind eye to what Turkey did relative to buying Russian arms, then they will do the same. He went on, depending on who one talks to in Turkish government, there are those who are acutely aware and sensitive and appreciative that this is not over and are wanting to get back to the way things may have been at a different time, and the decisions coming out of Ankara are not necessarily reflective of the military institution or the foreign ministry. And then this is from a guy named Roman Schweizer. He's an analyst for Cowen and Company. We continue to believe this is a major, possibly irreparable fracture with Turkey, an important NATO ally. For multiple reasons, Russia has succeeded in driving a wedge in the alliance. It is not clear to us how the U.S.-Turkey relationship can be mended. Interesting, right? So Russia, right, could give a crap about what's going on in the Mideast. It does give a crap about fracturing NATO. In terms of operations, there's a couple articles that caught my eye. One is this. State Department looking to at shifts to Afghan security assistance. What does that mean? And so this is under the guise of, what does Afghanistan look like? If you listen to the Lynch Kenny thing yesterday, that went almost 2 hours, for God's sakes, what does it look like? Does it ultimately revert to the cities being controlled by warlords, as they historically have been, and there being a confederation of those cities? And that kind of in an inner circle, and the Taliban controlling the kind of the outer circle. Will anybody be satisfied with that? Or is there too much, or is it too lucrative to allow those cities to continue to exist, and they'll be fighting in and around the cities? Now, I would tell you that Afghans will fight for that. My own opinion. That's how they've existed for centuries. They'll fight for that. So, we'll see. So, whenever you see a story that says the United States is looking at modifying its security assistant, you know, what's the effect in the region's long-term stability? All right. Teams on the ground in Afghanistan are making assessments on the kinds of diplomatic or military support, whether that's equipment or training and how to use it. We've been doing this for 18 years. But here's R. Clark Cooper again. if we look at Afghanistan broader than just Afghanistan and look at it from a regional aspect, then yes, we're looking at where there would be potential posture shifts for the Afghan security forces and any potential posture shifts on their governance capabilities. State Department will continue working with countries around Afghanistan, helping to bolster their own security. Why? Because there are partner nations that have been, that maybe have not historically aligned with the United States, former Soviet Union satellites, that we are working with to ensure a more cohesive northern access corridor, regardless of what happens with the Afghanistan peace talks or the coalition. Or the reconciliation, according to Cooper. Guys like Chatty Cathy. So one thing that probably won't really change as much where we would stay the course on is those northern access corridor states, ensuring that they have the capacities and capabilities to be more interoperable with us and getting them off those historic sustained alliances with Russia. Now, that's kind of interesting because you're talking about, what, Turkmenistan and those other Stanish nations to the north. Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, peeling those away. Yeah. So, oh, you want to screw with Turkey? We'll take these other pawns, the chess game that goes on around the world. Ohio, man. Since we were talking about aviators and F-35s, I'd like to say it was great hearing from Rudy this week. We miss him. On that note, we haven't heard from those great supporters of Marine infantry in quite a while. How about getting us one of those high-powered naval aviators on the show to update us on the status of the air wing? You're going to hear from Rudy talking about food here. But, all right, I'll do that. And I got asked, Mac, when are we going to have another battlefield study? I've been looking for a battlefield study. I got to find one, man. I love doing those, man. Any time that I get the map, like I get my map frenzy going, I love that. I love that. All right, so we'll take a break. What you're going to hear from next is Montana Man. And F-18 Man, filling in for Kim, the chef, as he is a bit under the weather. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.